Welcome back to Spear Squared. I'm Andrew Darrington, your host. Tonight, we're here at Trubine in Tyler, Texas, for our most latest podcast. We're super excited about our guests. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors. We've got Stanley Barbecue, Rex Consulting, Red Construction, Hoot and Holler Package Beverage down in Gun Barrel City, Goosehead Insurance with Raymond Plunkett, The Vault, The Humidor, and Trubine as our sponsors. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring us and believing in the content that we're producing, trying to champion entrepreneurs and nonprofits and an occasional distiller and brewer. So tonight, I've got the esteemed guest, Ryan and Tracy Dixon of Trubine Brewery. Thank you. Brewing Company.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Yes,
excited. I know you guys just did a Q&A type thing here at the brewery, but hopefully we may go down some other channels that you didn't get to address during that time. I didn't listen to it, just so that you know.
Well, it wasn't recorded.
Oh, it wasn't? Okay.
No, yeah.
I tried to find it. I know we had, like, you had your third anniversary, and you had your fifth anniversary, so there's some YouTube recordings online. I haven't, if you haven't seen them, make sure you look it up, because there's some fun stuff there.
Yeah.
Especially the third one, because, you know, you're seeing, like, a different venue and all that good stuff, so gotta look
at
that. So, let's go all the way back. You guys, so I lived in Amarillo for a while. You guys meet in Lubbock and Texas Tech, I'm assuming?
I went to Texas Tech. Ryan actually went outside of Lubbock to
South Plains College.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're school for audio engineering.
I got you. And then,
but go Raiders, for sure.
Yeah, go Raiders. You guys meet?
Yep.
Was it love at first sight?
Not quite. So, Tracy and I attended the same church, because our parents went to that church and we were going to appease our parents essentially at that stage of our life. Yep. And
my dad was actually the pastor of the church.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. And
he's out of appease at that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so we had seen each other a little bit in passing mostly. And then, just some radical life changes for me, and, started getting more involved in church. I saw that she was still kind of tiptoeing around, and the first time I met Tracy, actually, I thought she was pretty snobby.
Mm-hmm. Just so rude.
It is. She's not. She's obviously not, but that was my first.
I was going through a dark season of life, so I probably
You're
did.
You're a preacher's daughter. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I married one. Yeah. Fortunately, we're not married anymore.
Yeah.
There were some dark sides and things, and it just wasn't a good match.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
But so you guys are dating, you know, fall in love.
Whoa. You're going too fast. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I didn't want it 15 minutes. Good Lord. Yeah. So at first we were friends, right?
Yeah,
really good friends. I had just come out of my dark space. She was coming out of a dark space, that we were confiding in each other because we both knew that we needed to turn our lives around, because where we were was just destined for junk. You know?
Okay.
And so we became really close friends. We'd hang out all the time. We'd go do stuff. We actually had another friend group that we would do stuff with a lot, go to movies, go out to eat, and all this kind of stuff. Because I wanted to be her friend, and I didn't want to jump into a relationship. And over time, we grew to really like each other, and I could tell that there were some feelings. She could tell that there were some feelings, and, you know, it started to become a little magical, and I didn't want to ruin the friendship, so I actually broke up with her before we were even going out or dating.
So do we want to stop this?
Yeah, I don't want to ruin our friendship, so I think we should just take a break. And she straight up said, well, I disagree, but whatever. And so she was right.
Yeah,
because a couple months
we were friends for a couple of years before we actually, like, started dating. And it was like our friendship led us to the place that when we started dating, it was like we knew we were going to get married at that point. It was like we knew if we transitioned to these feelings that we had and actually commit to being in a relationship, that it was like not just dating, but like this is the guy I'm going to marry kind of situation. So it was pretty cool. And then we dated for a couple of years after that. And then got married. So, I mean, we've been married now 22 plus years, dated for a couple years prior to that.
We were
friends before that.
Were you at Lubbock when you got married?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So, when were you still in school?
So no, let's see. When you
got married,
we were dating. We were dating.
Well, 2 years ago, so I guess.
Married in 2003.
Yeah.
Yep. So we were together.
Fresh out of that scenario.
It's cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we got married, Tracy was working full time. I was working full time. We found out we were pregnant with our first baby,
right.
Addison, who we just took to Oklahoma City University two weekends ago, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And life was okay, but we didn't have a whole lot of connections there. Most of our connections had moved off. Our family had moved off from Lubbock, and so we were kind of the first in our friend group to start having babies. And our first child was very colicky, and we didn't know what that was. We just thought every baby is chaos in all through the night, and so
there's a lot of tears shed by me.
It took a while to kind of get into a rhythm there. And as soon as we caught that rhythm, we found out we were pregnant with number two.
Perfect.
And we said, we're not doing this alone. Yeah. So at that point, we were both teaching. And so we had the summer off. And so we moved, technically we came over to Quitman, Texas, the home of the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
And that's where Tracy's mom and dad lived. And so we stayed with them and tried to find jobs here in East Texas because we really wanted our babies to grow up near family. And so that's how we got to East Texas.
You forgot about the skate park. You wanted to do a skate park, I thought.
Yeah.
We did do a lot of
a studio. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We did do a studio.
Yeah.
We did.
Yep.
So I've always been kind of
Java.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You doing your research, bro?
Yeah, man.
Studio job.
Let's talk about studio job.
So, with an audio engineering background, I love music. I've always loved music. I love the technicality of recording and microphones and compressors and all, anything that comes with audio. I love it. I did that, and that's what I taught, actually, in West Texas before we moved over here. And so when we moved, we just utilized the skills that we had. There weren't jobs for what we were doing, but we were just trying to make it work. And so we opened, and there was a little spot there in Quitman that needed something. And so we decided to marry the concept of kind of a mom and pop coffee shop and a recording studio. So the name Studio Java comes from the combination of the two.
Yep.
And so the coffee shop was open during the daytime and then on the weekends, and then the recording studio was my appointment only kind of thing. So we just kind of utilized the space for everything.
It's funny to think about the fact that in Quitman there was not a coffee shop, definitely not a recording studio, and we felt like, okay, well, we'll open a coffee shop and a recording studio, and then
just a need show up.
The same thing with Truvine now. It's like there was not a brewery here, so we're like, we should open a brewery. But anyways, all that to say, like, it was interesting during that time because I was pregnant with our second daughter and I was working the coffee shop by myself because Ryan had to go get another job to help support us.
Yes.
And so I literally had a toddler and I was pregnant. And so people would come in and there would be days I'd be like, can you hold my baby so I can make your coffee?
Right.
It was very, very mom and pop. And then if there were any recording studio gigs, it would always be at night or on the weekends and stuff. But it was cool that time. I think it taught us a lot about business.
Yeah.
And it was a family. My sister was a silent partner in it. My dad helped us with the construction. It was definitely a family project. And our small little town embraced it. I mean, we were the hot spot after Friday night football games.
Yeah.
And my brother was in high school at that time, so all of his friends got to experience that before they graduated. And so it was a neat time for sure. But yeah, and then one thing led to the next, and we ended up closing that down and moving to Tyler. And
right. Did you get into home brewing before you moved?
Or? No, home brewing happened when we came to Tyler. So I got a job at TJC, which was kind of the closest thing that closest to what I had done previously. And so I was working within the division of the IT department it doesn't exist anymore in the same capacity, but basically we handled classroom and event technology, projectors, sound systems, that kind of thing, not computers so much. And so I got a job at TJC. We were commuting at that time. Tracy was working here in town too. And so we would leave from Quitman, drop our babies off early, early in the morning.
Before the toll.
In Lindale, and then we'd continue to drive here. She would drop me off at TJC and go to her work, and then at lunch she'd come pick me up and we'd swap, and then after I got done, I'd pick her up, we'd drive up, pick our babies up, and then land in Quitman. So it was like a 12-13 hour day every day. And that was interesting, and we just knew that wasn't sustainable, you know, long term. So we found a little rental house here in Tyler and moved here, and been here ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. So you started home brewing here.
Correct.
And what was it about the book that, you know, that transformed like their thoughts about home brewing?
I'll start with that story and then you can take it over, because really it starts with, so in all of the transition from us moving from Lubbock to East Texas and all of that, during that time frame, my dad passed away suddenly, and it was, very heartbreaking, but also very transformative for all of our entire family. Yeah. But for Ryan and I, it was very inspirational, because he always, one of his life mottos and what he always taught us as kids growing up is to leave a place better than the way you found it.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like to, you know, we would go camping, and if we, when the next morning when we left, we had to make sure to pick up everybody's trash, not just ours, but you got to leave a place better than the way you found it. And so the year that he passed away, it was June of 2010. That fall, we went on a cruise with some other family members. And Ryan was at that point starting to like kind of really get into homebrewing and thinking about homebrewing and studying and researching and all of that based on our passion of cooking and drinking, you know, good beverages that go with good food and all of that. So we went on this cruise, and one of our cousins recommended the book, The Search of God in Guinness. So from there, so I just wanted to give that background to the story, because it really is a piece of what brought us to do what we're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the book is called The Search for God in Guinness. It's a biography about the Guinness family. I normally don't read those kind of books, but it was recommended to me by a reputable recommender. And so I checked it out and dove in, and it's really this very in-depth story of the Guinness family, and there's different kind of groups of the Guinness family, and then of course gravitating towards the brewing family of the Guinness lineage. And it was just really amazing. They were doing stuff back in the 1800s that modern day breweries don't even do, or the companies like the best of the best companies that you can conjure up in your mind, like an Apple or a Google or a whatever it might be, is like top of the food chain, and how they treat their employees. They were doing it back in the 1800s and paid their people better than the rest of the people. They did all kinds of fun educational things. They were providing health style benefits even back then, and they were the I don't like to use the term savior, but they were the savior of Dublin, Ireland. And at that time, throughout the book, it really kind of details, outlines what that country and that city looked like. And Dublin, Ireland at that time was essentially a third world country. A lot of people living in one room, tons of disease, tons of poverty, just a really bad situation. And they were this little beacon, this little lighthouse in their community, doing what they were doing, making beer, which is awesome. But they also had an amazing passion for their community. And so they took legitimate steps on their own doing to assess the situation, the social, medical, what do we do educationally? Because there's nothing happening. What do we do? How can we help fix this? And they spent years and years researching and trying to figure out how to address the situation. And they did. They literally hired a doctor that went door to door to assess situations, figure out what they could do to help these people in need that wouldn't they're not going to glean any money from them. They're not. Yeah. They might sell a beer, but they're already selling a beer.
Sure.
But they just truly had a passion for their community and leaving it better than the way that they found it. And it was like a light bulb moment for me, thinking, you know, if we could do a fraction of that in East Texas with a brewery, I'm in. That would be awesome, because I don't want to just live life. I want to impact. I want to do something that's beyond me. And so I looked at this as an opportunity to kind of follow in their footsteps, follow their lead, be inspired by what they did. And we're nowhere near the Guinness family, but we do have a heartbeat for our community and try to do things within our means to help out. And so that was a very important read for me, and it really pushed and transitioned the hobby into what if we could make this thing happen.
Right. So you go from making a gallon to 2 gallons to 20 gallons. I'm sure you didn't have any problem, you know, getting people to be, you know, come over and taste test and try things.
Everybody says that. Yeah, I'll be a taste tester. You know, it's like when you're taking a keg to your truck to, my car's over here. You know, it's like always the same jokes. It's like, yeah, we get it. We're good. We got enough tasters.
Right.
Vault Arms is your premier destination for all things firearms. Extensive selection of handguns, rifles, shotguns, and accessories. Knowledgeable staff to assist you in finding the perfect firearm to fit your needs. State-of-the-art gun range equipped with the latest technology for a safe and thrilling shooting experience. Take advantage of our professional shooting instruction and training programs suitable for all skill levels. Host your next group outing, corporate event, or bachelor party at our spacious and secure shooting facility. Committed to promoting responsible gun ownership and firearm safety. Fully licensed and compliant with all state and federal regulations.
When you're in East Texas, there's one name you have to know. Stanley's famous Pit Bar BQ in Tyler. Since 1960, Stanley's has been smoking up award-winning brisket, fall-off-the-bone ribs, and creative sandwiches like the legendary Mother Clucker. It's not just barbecue, it's an experience. Cold craft beer, over 90 whiskeys, and live music in a laid-back backyard vibe. Locals love it. Legends play here, and your taste buds will thank you. Come hungry, leave happy. Find them on Beckham Avenue or at stanleysfamous.com.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you in need of some top-notch libations to elevate your next gathering? Look no further than Hoot & Holler Liquor Store in Gun Barrel City, your go-to liquor store for quality drinks. From smooth bourbons to crisp wines and everything in between, Hoot & Holler has one of the largest and most diverse selections in East Texas. Planning a special occasion? Let our experts guide you to the perfect bottle. You'll receive excellent customer service not offered in the big box chains. Visit Hoot & Holler today and let the good times flow.
Yeah, I mean, the first official True Vine events were definitely in our house,
right,
or in our garage. We actually rented a tent one time. Would you consider that the first Hoptoberfest?
It was the first Hoptoberfest.
We rented a tent in our backyard and had live music, Patrick Frieden, and released some beers, and probably had, 30 people, maybe? Yeah.
We invited, all these restaurateurs out and everything, and it was to, our house.
Yeah.
So they drove up, and they were like, I ain't going there.
Right.
But that's where the startup brewery was, essentially. It was in the garage. So.
Right. So it moved to the garage when some of the bigger batches come, and you're buying new equipment?
Yes.
And so there's some conflicting gears or dates of when True Vine was officially established.
Yeah.
So you've got 2011,
mm-hmm.
Where you've got a couple of friends with you,
yep,
that helped you establish, Steven and Dan.
That's great.
And then also saw 2013 as a date. And then I saw 2014,
yeah,
which obviously, you know, it's like, all right, well, are these college roommates kind of like getting together, or people with similar passion?
Yeah.
That are like, hey man, we can do this, you know, and doing it, you know, drunk by a campfire or what?
Yeah.
Tell me about how What date makes sense to you when you talk about establishing her?
So we've determined that our official first date, or the date that we utilize, is 2014. And the reason being, that's when we opened to the public.
Yeah.
So in other words, that's when the factory was open. We had our grand opening. And so that's what we mark our first date.
But you're not in your garage at that point.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so we established the company in 2011 at my house.
Yes.
And then we got our license in 2013.
Okay.
But we didn't. And we started selling product towards the end of that
year. Oh, you were at Englewood by that time in 2013?
Right at the end, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's where that date confusion. But we go back to like when we officially were like, boom, open for business versus established.
Right. So you're in a warehouse on Englewood in 2014.
Correct.
And you've got licenses and you're ready to, you're rolling.
Yes.
And how many beers did you offer at that time?
For that grand opening, we had three beers.
Three beers.
And we were making 50-gallon batches. And the fermenters that we had were just under 100 gallons. We had two of those.
Right.
Which is very small.
Yeah.
It is very small.
That for sure. And at that point, it was like the big thing was like the last Saturday of the month, right?
After the grand opening, yes. We said, what if we could turn this into a monthly thing? Because at that time, breweries were not allowed to be open to sell beer. You could not sell a pint over the counter to a customer for money. You could sell a tour that they get free, two free tokens to exchange for beer, but you could not legally in the state of Texas sell beer as a brewery to a customer directly, right? And so a lot of laws changed throughout our journey, and the most pivotal one for us was in 2013 when Smith County allowed the sale of beer and wine in Smith County.
Right.
Like, that was not a thing. And of course, we still can't go get in the booze, you know, the real booze.
Yeah. Which I think in our lifetime we'll see change.
I agree.
It's given to him at Timmy Pepsi.
So. Cheers. So.
But, and so as soon as we started brewing beer and being open, or started like distributing beer, Fresh opens up this massive beer aisle.
Right.
And people are walking by and they're like, what is this? Like, it's like a kid in a candy store type vibe, because no one knew that there were these many varieties of beer and all of this, these different styles from these different places from all over the U.S. You know, they know about the big domestics and the things that get shoved in our face on TV, but that's it. And so it was a really prime time, I believe, for us to start up, because craft beer was still real new, and it was very new to East Texas.
Interest was peaked. And so then when we opened our doors, I mean, we were super nervous, to be honest. Like,
why wouldn't you be?
First of all, like, we were the first brewery in East Texas. So as a mom of kids, I was thinking we're going to have picketers on our front yard. And, you know, I just, my mind was going in all different kind of negative places. But when we opened the doors at that first event and we looked out and there was like a line up the street, I mean, because this warehouse was tiny.
Yeah.
You know, and you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been there. And so, I mean, you had to go around the back alley to get to the back. And I mean, it was not an ideal situation at all, but the line out the door to the street, I was in just blown away by
the craft beer scene was hit first before the whiskey scene. Because the whiskey scene really didn't get hot and heavy until probably like 2017. Mm-hmm. You guys had a, you know, 4 or 5 year gap where it was building a lot of steam, a lot of new breweries in Texas, DFW.
Yeah.
Not so much here, but a few pop-ups, you know, from place to place. So yeah, I think you caught a lot of momentum there at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of intrigue. And with Smith County being dry for so many years, there was a lot of intrigue to not drive as far.
Because
that's really the benefit of not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to drive 20 miles to do it.
Right.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
I choose to do it. I'm going to drive 20 miles or not.
Yeah.
So, when you guys create this brewery,
three things come to mind, and you still have it posted. It's integrity, community, and love. Why were those three cornerstones? The other thing I want you to comment on, because I think they kind of go hand in hand. I didn't know what Truvine meant until I did some searching.
Uh-huh.
So I think the two kind of go a little bit more hand in hand. Maybe you have a story for both, but why were those three things so important? And then tell us a little bit about what Truvine means. Or like where it came from.
So I'll go in reverse order.
Okay.
You know, so we'll start with Truvine.
Yep.
We're all inspired by heroes. Mm-hmm. All of us. It could be a fictional hero like Spider-Man for kiddos. It could be a sports hero. We're football season. Praise the Lord. We're finally there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Heroes of history, the Braveheart. You know, I mean, every man that walked out of Braveheart 20, 30 years ago was like, I'm going to toughen up and I'm going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So we're inspired by heroes. And one of our biggest heroes is Jesus.
Yeah.
And in John chapter 15 of the Bible, there's this beautiful chapter there. That it starts off with, I am the true vine and you are the branches. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he picks up, cleans off, disciplines. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it bears more fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And that whole concept of like how he nurtures us out of the dirt and how he lifts us up and how he gives us strength and gives us purpose, ultimately for the purpose of loving him and loving others. It just really hit me as a husband and as a father that I need that in my life every day. And on top of that, just the beauty of the horticultural aspect of it.
Yeah,
we're a brewery, but hops grow on vines, and so there's some horticultural aspects of it, but then ultimately it's naming a brewery after our biggest hero.
Yeah, for sure.
And we actually lived on Vine Avenue when we started Truvine. So it was like, it started at Vine Avenue in Tyler, and then all of that as well combined, it just made sense.
Yeah.
It was like a no-brainer. As soon as, because I read that, I mentioned it to my two buddies, and they're like,
let's do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then from that, with the core values that you were asking about, I mean, we had many of meetings before we initially opened Truvine, from 2011 to 2014, so years of meetings. And so we really just tried to figure out what means the most to us and what we're wanting to accomplish with the mission of Truvine. And, you know, integrity was one that we wanted to hold to, because being in the alcohol industry can be very tricky in a lot of ways. And we didn't want to be known for a brewery or a company in any way that cut corners or did anything unethical, from the way that we produce the beer to the way we manage the business and the finances. And so we determined integrity, doing the right thing no matter who's watching always, was really important for us as ownership, but then also for our staff. And then community, we had, like Ryan mentioned, from the Guinness family and everything that was, you know, inspirational to us in starting this, we wanted to be an integral part of our community and not only just be a brewery in the city, but a brewery for the city. And that's kind of a slogan we still adhere to, but wanted to be a place that people could come together from all over. It didn't matter what part of town you were from, color of your skin, the amount of money in your bank account, and create a true community of people, and then be a brewery that gives back. And so we partner with nonprofits to do gives back nights every Tuesday, or events throughout the year, or to host, I mean, even like your podcast, just to be able to give back to other business owners and in that capacity. And then love was one that was pretty interesting for us, because you don't hear love as a core value, especially in the alcohol industry a lot of times. But we wanted to really put a focus for our staff and our community on love, because we want people, when they walk through the door, to feel loved. Mm-hmm. Because we know that life can be hard, and so we want people to feel at home when they come to Truvine and to feel love in everything from when they open a can of beer at home, from the packaging to the drink itself, to when they come visit us here. We want them to feel loved and accepted how they are. And that goes back to our namesake as well. So,
yeah, for sure. I love those stories. So somewhere along the way, Steve and Dan kind of, they're doing their thing. Like, they're doing their own thing, right? And the Loudons come in.
Yeah, they get a real job is what that's called. They get a real job.
With money. They moved. Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
And move.
Yeah.
And have their families, and they go do their aspirations and all that. And then the Loudons come into play, right?
Uh-huh.
And you guys make a very critical decision to buy the most dilapidated place in Tyler and decide to work on it for months to fix it up to, you know, I wouldn't say where it is now because it's better than what it was in 2017 and even further, but what was that like, meeting with them, bringing them in? You've already, you know, kind of worked with other investors too, so I mean, you had that experience, but that had to have been a lot of meetings and a huge decision for you guys.
Yeah, we had reached a critical point at our last location. There was no parking. There was no restrooms. There was nothing in case of contingency for rain. You mentioned earlier that we had those events once a month because that was all we were allowed to do. And so we had this big event on the last Saturday of the month. We had food trucks, live music, beer releases, all this kind of stuff. People brought their own chairs. It was awesome. But you'd have to park blocks away. Porta potties for restrooms. If it rained, that's it. Like, yeah. There's nowhere to go.
Like, yeah, dirt.
And so, yeah.
It's wide open.
And so there were a lot of pinch points there. It was cool. We made a lot of great memories. A lot of great memories there. But logistically, it just wasn't... It wasn't what we... We couldn't grow at that location. We were already wall-to-wall. We were doing mobile canning at the time, and we'd roll a mobile canning line in between our tanks and have to do this to get by. I mean, it was logistically a nightmare. And so I met Jim via a friend, introduced, and seemed like a great guy and very hungry to get involved in business and help out. And one of the conversations he had early on was we were talking about future locations, and we were looking at this and looking at that, kind of dreaming big. And he mentioned just kind of in passing, hey, or I might have found us a plan B building that I got at an auction earlier this week or something like that. And I'm like, well, plan B, what do you do? Tell me. And he kind of hem-hauled about whereabouts it was. And so I snuck over here and we drove up the little railroad access here and kind of peered over the fence, and it was in tough shape, but knew at that moment this is not plan B, this is absolutely plan A. And so I went home and started sketching and then trying to convince him that this is the right thing. And so he had bought the building and the property, and the only thing on it was this building, not as nice as it is now. And so we just made an initiative to start fixing it up and getting it going. And then he's built out all the rest of the Mosaic District here.
Yeah, okay.
So all of that was woods. So there wasn't even a connection to that. Earl Campbell at that time. The only way to access the building was from there. And we knew that wasn't going to be a win, but access via Earl Campbell was a win.
Yeah, sure.
And so we just started chomping and making it happen. And so we were up here late nights, we were cutting wood, we were staining stuff, we moved over a majority of these tanks, not the biggest ones, but the majority of these tanks from our last location by ourselves. We put it all in. We did a lot of the smaller infrastructure, because you have to, unless you have just tons of money, which we did not have. And so we just grinded, honestly, last minute.
With kids.
They were sleeping on pallets of grain and stuff.
Yep.
But it good memories. And so from there, it's just been, you know, one step at a time, you know.
Right.
And, you know, life has changed since then. The industry's changed since then. And the world has changed since then.
Yeah, for sure.
But
and we
this is a good
feel,
move.
We wanted the same feel the aesthetic that we had at our old location to transfer here. So we utilized a lot of old things.
Okay.
Even at this new location to keep the vibe the same.
Old wood, rust, glass shards, you know, stuff like that. Not the glass shards, but...
Are you looking to optimize your drilling rig operations and maximize productivity? Look no further. Rex Consulting is here to power your drilling. With over 20 years of industry experience, our expert team provides tailored solutions that drive efficiency, safety, and profitability. From site assessments to cutting-edge technology integration, Rex Consulting is your trusted partner for land-based and offshore oil and gas drilling solutions. Ready to take your rig to the next level? Contact Rex Consulting today and send your operations to the next level in operational performance. Contact Josh Simmons at 918-637-9181. Rex Consulting, level up.
The Humidor is your online cigar retailing headquarters. Our experienced staff has spent years finding some of the best cigars from around the world to sell to our customers. If you're looking for an online cigar store that can help you find your next favorite smoke, welcome to the Humidor. We began the Humidor because of our deep appreciation of the finer things in life, a good conversation with friends, an aged whiskey, and, of course, a fine smoke. That's why, in addition to selling premium cigars online, we also operate a brick-and-mortar cigar lounge in Tyler, Texas. Our lounge is crafted to provide a classic ambience with modern sensibilities, and we've spent time ensuring that smokers and non-smokers have an enjoyable experience, whether they're there for a drink with friends or to enjoy the game.
Looking for your next favorite hangout in East Texas? Come experience True Vine Brewing Company, Tyler's original craft brewery. Since 2014, True Vine has been serving up award-winning beers with a laid-back, community-focused vibe. Whether you're sipping on a seasonal IPA or enjoying one of their signature brews, you'll feel right at home. With two awesome locations, the spacious Earl Campbell Parkway Tap Room and the cozy downtown square spot, there's always something going on. Live music, food trucks, and even spots for your kids and your dogs. True Vine Brewing Company, more than a brewery, it's a place to connect, unwind, and taste something truly local. Come see what's on tap at truevinebrewing.com. That's truevinebrewing.com.
One thing that I thought could have been a critical decision, I don't know if it was or not, but I think it probably was to integrate Blaine and Sola in at that time too. Talk to me about why that was important, that you guys had a food provider that was a third party.
Yeah.
And, you know, why was that a good time to do it when you were trying to, you know, move in and get this open?
Yeah. So when they kind of have the same history that we do as far as starting their backyard. I mean, they used to have pizza nights in their backyard where people could come and pay and bring their own wine or beer, and they had an all-you-could-eat kind of buffet as the pizza came out. And one of my best friends actually is one of the owners, Lindsay Long. And when we moved over here, we knew that because at our prior location, we always had to have food trucks. And we knew that people, when you drink, you want food.
Sure.
I mean, and that's just part of it. And at that point, they were talking about maybe getting a food truck or what options they had. And so we thought, well, pizza and beer, that goes really hand in hand together. And so their space that is here at our location now was not even a thing at that point. It was literally what you see when you come to True Vine. Everything is different from when we bought it. You know, it was just the 10,000 square foot warehouse, and that was it. Not Sola Bread, not even the restrooms that are on site. And so we determined that food was crucial. Loved the fact that their heartbeat was very similar to ours for the community and for their ingredients and what they utilize in their pizza. And we personally just love the food as well. And so we thought, well, this would be a great combination to have this offering for Tyler. And they were on board with it, jumped in. And so they were up here late nights with us, working on their space while we were working on our space, getting everything ready for those year or two leading up to us opening in 2018.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, I jump into their website, and if it was like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm reading a lot of the same stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I figured that there was definitely a tie-in there.
Cool.
before we get into any further dates, let's talk a little bit about some of the names of some of the beers that you have, because obviously there's a kind of a same kind of mimic that you see where you have mermaids and unicorns and you have, you know, Giant Slayer, and it's like these mythical
dragons and dinos.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. is that something that is a reflection of something that you enjoy, and mm-hmm. what anime type stuff, or talk to us a little bit about some of the names, why
sure
that's important.
Some of them are just silly names, to be honest.
Okay.
Like Giant Slayer, for example, is an inspiration from King David and the Battle of David and Goliath.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was original gangster beer for us. That was a garage beer.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do a big Imperial Stout, and so Giant Slayer name, that was locked in a long time ago. So that has some biblical inspiration, and then mermaids and unicorns, not so much, right? But as a dad of two daughters that are 16 months apart, and those, I was a dad of two daughters until 9 years ago, and so my whole life was inundated with princesses and ponies and mermaids and unicorns. So, and one of them is more of a mermaid and singing and, you know, exploring, and the other one is a unicorn. And she's just a little, you know, creative and
more quiet and to herself. Yeah.
And so I named it for them, okay. to be honest.
Okay.
And then other ones, like we had a Rose City Pale Ale. That was the very first beer that we came out with, obviously inherited to Tyler, Texas. And some of them are just fun names. We do, within the mythical side of things, have a beer called the Galactic Minnow Tart. So it's a sour tart style beer, and it's based off of a space minotaur. So there's some of that type of stuff, and then some of them are just fun, like sail me this, or
Daddy's Juice Box was a tribute to our son.
Yes.
Because right, he came up to Ryan when he... So Miles was born after Truvine was started. And so our daughters grew up like with Truvine. And then Miles came along when we were at Inglewood. He came into the world. But when he was probably 3 or 4, maybe, he came up to you while Ryan was drinking a beer and said, "Can I have a drink of that?" And Ryan said, "No, that's Daddy's Juice Box."
Yeah.
And then he was like, that's a good beer name. And so that's how that came to be. But we also have like Kip's Pumpkin Ale, who's named after my dad, who I referred to earlier.
Was that part of the Hero line?
Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I...
Yeah. So my dad didn't drink beer hardly ever, but he loved a good pumpkin ale around the holidays.
Yeah.
And so we had to name a beer after him. And but yeah, that's one of the most fun things, is naming the beers and the, designing the logo for it, coming up with the graphics for all of it. Our team has fun. Yeah.
I didn't mean to tell you, and then you get feedback from others. Feedback from me is my favorite part of the whole thing, of the barrel picking and all that kind of stuff. It's like, I just want your feedback.
Yeah.
And if you tell me it's bad, okay, fine.
Yeah.
If you tell me it's good, then it's just that sense of like accomplishment that, you know, maybe there was something in your head that that got into somebody's cup.
Yeah.
And then they're experiencing it and they're enjoying it. It's just, I agree. That's my favorite. I like the feedback.
Yeah.
All the graphics. I let Daniel do all the graphics and stuff. He's the front guy. I like being back here.
Yeah.
Being the producer and talking with the distributors and all the dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer that.
Grunt work.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Before we talk about downtown, let's talk about... We talked about the hard work, but were there any like challenges or successes that you can think that come to mind between, and obviously there's a lot of trial between the time that, you know, 2014 to 2017 and even further than that, but anything come to mind where you're like, this was a horrible idea,
yeah.
or hey, we stumbled into this success?
No stumbling. There's no such thing as a stumble, at least not in our story. You know, it's just been that can-do, won't-quit attitude for us. And it's been tough. I mean, there's a lot of tough seasons. And, you know, when we first moved over here, we got everything in place. And they were like, now we have real big bills.
Right.
We have big bills. Like, our rent is a big number.
Right.
Our water bill, it's a big number. Electricity, big number. Employees, big number. So we went from, you know, I can be okay with being a volunteer, and now it's like, we can't rely on volunteers.
Sure.
You know, we need people that are here every day. And so that was a pretty big jump. And the first little bit was tricky, trying to make payroll, balance things. Even with the height of popularity, it's still very expensive. Business is expensive.
Yep.
And so that was difficult, but we overcame it. We actually were able to sell some additional shares to Truvine, so we got some additional money in to help get us whole, get a couple extra pieces that we needed to really take this place to the next level. And and then there's Tuesday, and Tuesday has its own challenges, right? You know, so it's truly like, how are you going to respond to these challenges, because they're going to come.
Yeah.
And after a while, it's really easy to either just be like, you know what, I'm done, or I just need a break. But I'm just stubborn, bro. I'm just so stubborn.
I think I hear that from a lot of entrepreneurs.
I just don't want to quit.
Yeah.
And to my own demise, maybe.
Yeah.
But
what's up?
There's awesome times too, man.
Hey, look. Nothing worth having that you don't have to work for.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more value when it's hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So let's talk about something hard. So you guys make a decision during COVID.
Uh-huh.
To open up. And
it wasn't during COVID.
Well, it was 2020.
Right before. So it was like a right when.
Yeah. I mean, late 2019 was first couple things happened, but you probably had no idea. But I don't know when you opened. Was it
February of 2020?
Okay, so yeah, it was like right at the beginning. So you're downtown.
Uh-huh.
Great location, by the way. If anybody has not visited that one, the vibe is awesome. Love it down there. So you guys decide to open in 2020.
Yeah.
And what was it like owning a brewery during the COVID?
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, I remember driving through and getting growlers filled in your we were driving through your parking lot. Like, kids are probably playing right now in that area. We were driving up getting growlers through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, similar to when we opened this location, we spent late hours downtown painting, getting stuff ready. So pumped about opening. We opened February, closed down just a few short weeks later for 26 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
And then here at this location, you know, it was you can't be in business if you can't sell your product to the people. So we had to get super creative, and thankfully with some of the law shifts and things that happened during that time, we were able to sell beer to go.
Yes.
Which wasn't a thing prior to that, correct?
Yeah, changed to September of the prior year.
And so literally because of that change, we were able to transform our front parking area to a drive-through. It was very sad, though, because we have customers that are here every single day. Like, after work, it's like, Tommy Dell, if he's not here, where is he at? Like, what, you know, something's wrong if Tommy's not here.
And the concern, like, worry. Like,
you get worried. Yeah, and so to have no communication, I mean, there's so many levels of that whole year for so many people, you know, but we would sit out, me and Ryan and our brewery team, we would sit out there and just wave at people as they drove up to get their beer to go, but it was very challenging. We had to be very creative, and thankfully, we made it through, because I know a lot of people did not, you know, as far as businesses. So
ingenuity, for sure. We were about to have our 6-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be our 6-year anniversary. So we brewed all these beers, like tons of beers for this big event. They're notoriously huge.
Yep.
And so
we
love to throw out new beers. So we have all this beer. No one, because of the mandates, could actually patronize a pint from our property.
Three piece grit.
And so we're like, what do we do? And so we literally ordered labels. We stripped labels off of cans that were mislabeled or something that we weren't going to use. And we put everything in cans that we could. So we were just canning out the wazoo just to put product in something that we could sell, because that was the only other option. And we couldn't, we didn't open again. We couldn't open really until like October or something of that year.
Did you guys make Sanitec? Did y'all make Sanitec?
No.
Okay. Yeah, just not the type of operation to do it.
I mean, a distillery could do it, you know, because but some brewery.
Yeah,
just ask that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
so, crazy.
Yeah, so that lasted for a while, but now, I mean, it's a great location, you know. And how many taps do you have there?
On the square, we have 16, and then wine.
Yeah, and wine.
Yeah.
Well, and here.
And here we have
20-ish?
28 or something like that, plus an outdoor bar if we need it.
Did you have the kids park and the dog park when initially?
Yeah.
Why was that important?
That, oh man, is absolutely important.
Is there, there's not many, I mean, you look around, there's this, you know, you come here and obviously you have an expectation, all right, it's a brewery, but then I tell friends all the time, like, hey, your kids are welcome here. Do you have a park where they can jump around, they can get all the energy out, they can laugh and play, they can meet new friends, and then bring your dog? I mean, they're welcome, obviously. Make sure they play nice.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's sure. Same thing with the kids, please.
Yeah, kids play nice.
Those are some
kids. I mean, we're a family, you know, that we wanted our kids to be able to have fun up here.
Yeah.
And so that, and we have dogs. And so we were like, we wanted a place for people to not have an excuse to come to. Yeah. Like, bring your kids.
Yeah.
And also a place where they could bring their kids, where their kids could enjoy, and then they could enjoy at the same time. And so we added the splash pad over there for the kids park, and, you know, the dogs. It's just people love their fur babies, and we want them to feel... like one of our sayings is a place at the table for all. Right. And that's truly what we want for people to feel like they can bring. It's definitely a family friendly, wholesome environment that we're trying to create. Don't want to be your typical average bar, but a place that you can bring grandma to, or your kid to, or whatever.
Or your kid's grandma.
Yep.
Right.
I think the win in that was we had already established, or Tyler had already established what they wanted out of a brewery from the previous location. So,
yep.
For example, we created the canvas, but the people made it colorful. They brought their kids. Yep. They brought their dogs. They brought the games and all of the stuff. And so we just picked up what other people were putting down and said, okay,
this is
important. Yeah. And it's a fantastic equalizer. You know, back to the bar scene. We don't want to be a bar scene. Right. We want to have equalizers.
It's going
to
stay longer when they feel comfortable.
Right. And sometimes kids are crazy. We know that. But, you know, it's almost a preventative measure to have families around. So people generally don't get out of hand. And there's a little more calmness about the location, and they stay for a while. And so it's there's a lot of facets to it, but we like it. There has been some movement in the beer industry with breweries that are saying no kids allowed now, which is pretty interesting. I don't think that's been well received, but I understand their concerns.
Right. Keep
your kids on a leash too. You know, that's my advice, because they can get.
Well, we experienced that. I mean, traveling to places like even Austin in Texas, or Portland, or other places, like Brian and I always love to go visit breweries, obviously. And we love our kids, and we want them to go with us to different places. And so we wanted to create a place like that that we would like to go to. And so we want to keep it that way.
Yeah, for sure. All right. You told me in a private conversation, which we're going to make public, that the last year, maybe year and a half, maybe 2 years, have been humbling. Use that word. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about what you meant.
Wait, before we get into that deep combo, can I have some more bourbon?
Yes. You didn't want a gym? And you can pivot if you want to.
No, that's good. So, I'm good with that. I think the humbling aspect is... we are doers. We want and strive for excellence. Okay? There are a lot of people that do the same thing. And so every day, as a business owner, as the founder of this company, I have breathed it in and out for many, many years. I wake up thinking about it. I go to bed thinking about it. My dreams are about it. I don't ever escape it, right? Very common story for most entrepreneurs.
Yep.
And so with that, let's try this. If we only did this, this is the next step for sure. Man, if we could get this knocked out, if we just get this one position filled, if we could just cut this one position, whatever that is, this fun event, then it'll be okay. Then we'll push over that hump to, oh. And I believe that that is not my path. That there is no push. There's no top of that hill. Mm-hmm. That my responsibility and my calling in True Vine is just to always grind and always push.
But doesn't that sword go on both sides? Like, it's a double-edged sword because you respond to challenges the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, so you benefit from being a grinder. Mm-hmm. But then you never want to let up. Mm-hmm. Because you feel like you're going to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you're perpetually trying to not let up.
Well, correct. I can't.
Right.
And that's not a prideful thing. And so back to the humbling, I would say that the humbling piece of this is that I've learned that no matter what effort I put into what I'm doing, I just need to keep doing that and then figure out new creative ways to keep doing that. And then the humbling part is we could put all this stuff together and have this marketing opportunity and push it out to everybody and have this massive event, and a thunderstorm rolls in and nobody shows up. That's the humbling part, because there's only so much that we can do. There's only so many things that we can prepare for. And at the end, it's not up to me. And so I'm learning to not let that affect me as heavily as it has in the past. Because notoriously, like even this summer, Monday through Thursday, the weather is fantastic. And then it downpours Friday and Saturday. Well, when do we make our biggest... Sure. How do we pay our bills? Yeah. Well, that's the weekend.
Right.
And so it's completely flooded. There's tornadoes in this. Uh-huh. No one's going to, and I don't blame anybody for doing that. Yeah. So that's been a big humbling thing for me.
Trying to just focus on what you can control.
All the work and being like stressed out about it and or obsessive about it is good. But then you've got to come to a point where you're like, I've done my part. Let it be.
You didn't look stressed on the beach the other day.
No.
He looked pretty good.
That was pretty well. And you know what, Andrew? It's because we have an awesome team.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, if it weren't for our team, I mean, we have a great brew team. You know, Dusty and Murder. His nickname is Murder.
Yeah.
Just a sidebar. But we have a great taproom staff, so we can leave our business, which is huge. I know a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners can't do that. And so the fact that we can leave for a week, 2 weeks, excuse me, at a time, it's huge.
Well, we've left for 2 weeks, but I would.
We did go to Italy for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But all that to say, like, our team makes it worth it, even on the hard days.
You couldn't leave for 2 weeks, go at studio job.
No. Absolutely no.
Unless you want to make your own.
I was the employee. casting a doll.
Right.
But
I don't think we made any dollars, like physically brought any dollar.
No one on the wall.
No one actually had paychecks.
What was funny about that is, like, literally, we would take the money that we made for the day, go to Berkshire's and buy milk and other supplies, and then come back for the next day. So, here we go.
Anyway,
but yeah, we have an awesome team here, and I think full circle, like, the community and the love that we have with our team is really what helps, even on hard years, like the year of COVID or years that are just more of a struggle, because it is a journey, just like with any entrepreneurship, but our team makes it worth it. And the community.
Let's talk about something fun.
Yep.
You got some events coming up. Sunday Fun Day?
Yes.
That's gear, right?
Location? Yes.
So that's in September, just started?
Yeah, it will start.
Well,
yeah, this is Sunday, 1st September.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. So this Sunday?
Yes.
Will be a fun day?
Yes.
Okay.
So the idea is we have this great facility. We have people that want to work. Right. We have people that say, hey, we'd come up if you had stuff, if you were open on Sunday. So we're doing it. And so we're going to trial it via during football season. And so we've got the NFL Sunday ticket. We've got lots of TVs. We have table tennis, ping pong, darts, chess, disc golf, cornhole, kids park, dog park, food trucks, everything you need, and beer. And so we're offering first responders discount and service industry discount for people that want to come because they're generally on their day off.
Yeah, they're on their day off. Yeah.
And so we'll be open from noon to 6:30-ish, or when the Sunday night football game kicks off is when we'll
cruise. The Avenger done.
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I think it's just another opportunity. Very laid-back picnic style is what we're saying.
And there may be a customer that you do has never been because willing to come because maybe they're working 6 days a week.
Yeah. And people can bring their own picnic, bring a blanket, bring a, you know, hammock, whatever. Yeah. Just chill. Sunday afternoon chill day. Yep.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm not a Taylor Swiftie, but you got a Taylor Swift.
That's a shame, Andrew.
Yeah. I mean, I think she writes pretty good lyrics. Mm-hmm. She definitely takes a breakup hard, but now she's engaged. And now she's coming out with a new record. Mm-hmm. You're doing an event for her. I'm assuming, I'm looking at you because you probably initiated that.
Yeah. Oh, well, we have two teenage daughters, and I absolutely love Taylor Swift, too. I mean, but yes, we did a release for her Eras Tour movie. We actually did a whole thing up here last year.
A year and a half ago,
which was a huge success. People loved it. It was a blast. And so when she announced that she was doing a new album, October 3rd, like, we got to do something up here because we have a lot of our customers are Taylor Swifties. They love Taylor Swift. And so, we're going to have a release party that night. We're going to have specialty drinks. Going to be doing karaoke. Going to have a lot of Taylor Swift music playing. And then we're going to play the whole album from start to finish and have a listening party. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Oktoberfest?
Correct.
All right. So what is that about?
So we've done an Oktoberfest style event since the inception, right? Since 2014.
Yeah.
Lots of years. It's been a blast. But we also like to change it up because the routine gets boring for all of us. So this year, O'Malley Alley Cat Rescue, it's kind of a tongue twister, is doing a nonprofit day to raise money for their shelter. So we're partnering with O'Malley to create Oktoberfest. And so there'll be live music, there'll be all kinds of stuff for kids, there's going to be a car show that day.
Nice.
There's going to be a dog show, because cats don't really show well in public.
Yeah.
So there's going to be like a costume contest, all kinds of fun stuff. So we're doing Oktoberfest on October the 18th, and if you've been to one of our Oktoberfests in the past, expect similar but way twistier in the cat theme than we normally go. But once again, it's a nonprofit in the area that we like to help out with whenever we can. And usually when someone asks, hey, can I can we do something together? We'll try to figure out a way to make it happen.
Yeah, very cool. And in January, you have a run.
We're not doing a run in January.
26, it said. No, 5K? Not this year?
Not this year. No, we, in the previous year, we've actually, there's another nonprofit that we love that we've partnered with called the Evie Effect that helps with suicide prevention and awareness. Really awesome family. We love them to death. We've actually relinquished our run and our spot to them. They utilize our space for it, and they do the organization, and then they have the after party and all of that.
Yeah, so that's transition. So I don't know when that next run is going to be, but they actually have a concert coming up in October as well. It's on the 11th or 12th, whatever that Saturday is. It's called Evie Rocks Tyler. And but that organization, they bring in bands and all of that. It's great. Yeah, so we have that coming up as well.
Anything new coming up? Any new beers? Anything that you'd want to announce here?
There's always new beers. That's one of our favorite parts of this whole thing, is just the ingenuity, creativity of making new things or taking a spin on something. We're in kind of a sour season right now, so we have one that will drop this weekend called Skittle Me This. It's a Skittle-inspired sour. We also have a gummy bear-inspired sour that'll be out next weekend. So we're kind of in the sour game at the moment. But then we've, with the Oktoberfest coming up, we've got our Wheat Love Hefe Metal is what it's called. It's our Hefe. Our Oktoberfest, of course.
Oktoberfest was so good.
It's so good. And we just keep the dial where the dial is. Maybe don't change that dial.
So good.
So we'll keep rolling with that. So Oktoberfest beers, and then we'll get into one of my favorite seasons, which is all year round, but technically dark beer season is in the winter. So we have a fantastic
when you're in your prime, man.
That's when we have our double shot, which is our coffee porter,
favorite one.
So good. And you know, now we have this this ice cream shop that's opened right out front of Truvine, and so I think we should do like a collab with
a scoop of
double shot scoop and vanilla.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
So yeah, just, you know, gearing up for another season. We love the fall because we can actually get outside and not melt here in Texas. And so really September, October, November are really busy for us with events and activity, which is great. And then December and January kind of slows down a little bit during the holidays. And then we pick back up again in the spring. So it really is an ebb and flow biz. And so that gives us a chance to breathe, but also to reinvent. And we've reinvented a few times, you know, but stayed true to our roots.
I would get in trouble with my wife if I didn't ask about the beer that you were making for TXN in Mendale.
Yeah.
It was a
Ladysmith.
Ladysmith.
Yep.
Yes.
What happened with that? Like, she loved it. She had a friend that loved it. They would go up there on Saturdays, sometimes Sundays.
Yeah.
And when we built our house, we finished our house.
Yeah.
It took us a year because we built in COVID. So we kind of similar, you know, hard-headedness, stubbornness. And when we did our housewarming, we ordered a half keg of that. All we could order.
Yeah.
You know, and we ordered a half keg and it got floated.
Yeah.
Took a while. But I mean, everybody what kind of beer was it?
It was called Ladysmith.
Yeah.
And it was a, oh goodness,
I don't remember what that was.
Starts with
Pilsner?
It was a lager,
it was a flower.
Yes. Hibiscus. Honey hibiscus.
Yep. Bro.
I know.
Okay.
So I mean, that gets a little tricky as far as why that
sounds like you're good at trick.
Yeah. We were doing self distribution. There's a lot of layers to the beer industry and a lot of laws and a lot of goofy hoops that people have to jump through. So we were doing self distribution at that time, but really couldn't adequately do it. And so we signed on with a distributor that now distributes our product into grocery stores,
sure,
and restaurants, bars, etc. Well, when that distributorship changed, that connectivity between us and them,
yeah,
was
changed.
It changed, not in a bad way. It just changed. And so it was a lot harder for them to get like specialty stuff. And so it just got complicated to the point where it just kind of, I actually talked to Mr. Rick the other day, and he's good. And, it was a fun collaboration with what they were doing up there.
Well, if you ever do it again, you got a cake sold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here.
Done.
For sure.
Done.
I always like to end the podcast by you guys acknowledging people that you want to give a shout out to. And it could be somebody who, you know, is a mentor, a lot of people, family members, things like that. Because we're making something that's going to be on the internet for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, and it could be somebody who doesn't really listen to podcasts, because mm-hmm. ultimately we're going to be able to package this up in a text message, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
But I'll just give you guys the floor and let you guys maybe acknowledge anybody who you'd like to, anybody who you want to give a shout out to.
We're cool.
That you want me to start?
Or you?
I got it. Go ahead.
No, so I, you know, it's like the award show, you know, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
But I would say, for real, the people in our lives that have supported us, from friends and family to our staff.
Yeah.
That's been huge. We are a family up here. It's real, and that's really neat. You know, we deal with some real stuff, some real not fun stuff, but that's what family does, and we're here to support each other. But my team is fantastic. I love them dearly. We help each other out a lot. So definitely our staff, the friends that believed in us from the very beginning, the restaurants like Stanley's Famous that believed in us from the very beginning. Shout out to Nick. And
yeah, great guy.
He was one of our first five accounts. That's all we could do is five.
Okay.
So people like that. And then, man, the greater East Texas Tyler community and supporting this dream and coming out here and taking a chance to learn about craft beer, or bringing your grandma out to a brewery. Right. You know, that's been so huge, and the memories that we've been able to make. And that's huge for us. I mean, from the Dixon family, that is one of our biggest satisfaction pieces. It's not that I just want to do a bunch of events and be busy, or brew a bunch of beer and be busy. I don't, that's not why we're in this. We're in this because we want people to be proud that they're from Tyler. And if their friends are in from out of town, yeah, they go, one of their stops is Truvine Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Because we want to be, not just, as Tracy mentioned earlier, we don't want to just be a brewery in the city. We are a brewery for the city. And so we appreciate the amazing support over the, we'll be at 12 years coming up, you know, and it's been that way from the very beginning. And some people come, some people go, some people are new, some people are old, and we love that we get to host that part of their life, you know, that third home.
Now, to add to that, like specifically shout out, I would give a shout out to our supper club, our friends that we, for the last, 8 years, we have met every month for dinner. We switch out who cooks and bring beverages, and they have heard everything from the ups to the downs for the Truvine journey, and everything in between. And they've supported us and pray for us and love us through it. I would also give a shout out to our kids, who have been a huge part of, they have been with us from obviously the beginning phases and the build out phases. The build out phases to the highs, the lows, sleeping on pallets of grain, like Ryan mentioned. And they, you know, it's cute because they, our daughters just said, one of them we just took to college, and she said, those were some of the best times of my life, is when we were up at Truvine super late and y'all were building it out and all of that. And so all that they have been a part of. And then I would also, and this is kind of random, but I would give a shout out to the people that have lost loved ones that have chosen to have their memorial services here at Trevon. I can't think of a better compliment slash more rewarding thing as a business owner to have someone ask you to have their memorial service at your business because it meant that much to them. And so I would love to just, you know, raise a glass and give a toast to the people that have passed on, that that Trevon was a part of their lives and they were a part of our lives as well. And so cheers to them too.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah. Yes. And I was here 4 weeks ago and there was a lady.
Yeah, we've had that too. Yeah.
I mean, just incredible memories. And you guys created it, you know?
We helped bring the canvas. Right, the people make it colorful, bro.
The couple in the kitchen cooking up homebrew, wow. And with the, you know, the stuff that it takes in your gut to push forward, mm-hmm. is which created what is here, yeah. And you have to acknowledge that.
Yeah,
I mean, and yes, a lot of key players involved and a lot of good steps, wrong steps, corrected steps, whatever you want to say. But I mean, without those guts, mm-hmm. it don't happen.
Yeah.
And there's a heck of a lot of people that went through life and brewed in their kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, I know some people that distilled in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And didn't go any further than that. You know, just it was something to play around with and then chose a path of safety.
We didn't. No.
So, final toast to be cheers to you, babe.
Yeah.
Because this was a dream in your heart that you made happen.
Mm. Yeah.
And being by your side through all of it.
And guess what? I won't be so hard on you. I'm not going to be as hard on you as you are on yourself. So, cheers to you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cheers to us.
Cheers to us. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you guys so much for sharing.
You may.
I know that sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's easy for you guys, but sometimes it's not easy. And I just appreciate you guys coming in. I know it's late. You got kids at home. And but I appreciate you guys' time. I really do. And I appreciate you guys being sponsors of ours and let us use this bit. I really enjoy doing podcasts here.
It needs to be used, man.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. We try our best to do you guys a good service.
Yeah.
You know, champion entrepreneurs, nonprofits, and occasional brewer and distiller. Peppered in there, but mostly entrepreneurs, nonprofits. Speaking of, our next podcast is with the Heart of Tyler.
Nice.
Which is a great nonprofit. Can't wait to have them on. And again, appreciate the sponsors. Appreciate you guys' time. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much.